This is Kickstart 101 with Graham Shapiro.
Sometimes, some Mondays, you just need a kickstart upside the head, never mind. How are you, Graham?
Very good, and you?
All right, thank you. So I was actually saying that for the past 5 years here at Chai FM, we've basically been in a paperless environment.
Well, you're on a radio station.
Yes, and every news bulletin, before we moved to the cloud, every news bulletin had to be printed out and filed.
Oh, really?
True story.
So you've made a good step ahead.
Every hour of radio, like, I don't even want to know.
Is that a best practices? Yes. Was that a best practices thing, or was that internal?
No. That was a conscious thing.
Oh, really?
Let's move it to the cloud. It's safer. It saves our everything.
Also, it's much easier to change. It's much easier to update if a fact might be wrong. Or something like that, you know, you don't have to...
No, once a news bulletin goes out, we don't change.
No, I'm saying just before it goes out. If it's printed and you're reading over it and you see something's not right, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about for SMEs, small and medium enterprises.
So it's definitely relevant for all companies, but it's becoming, I mean, in the last couple of years, it's become extremely relevant for SMEs. And you often hear... You know, two sides of the argument. There's a lot of people who are, a lot of companies that are resisting the cloud.
Why?
You know, they say if it's not broken, don't fix it.
But it is broken.
So their company might be working and their products might be good. So that's what I mean, it's not broken. Everything's still working. It's just manually, it just takes double the time. You know, certain tasks take double the time. And, you know, you have others who say, well, let's move with the times. So you say that when you say it's broken. Think of people who are still using Nokia 3210s.
Oh, my gosh. I was actually asked for a fax number the other day. Aside from ICASA, who actually still has fax?
You still have to fax SARS if you don't. You still have to sometimes fax SARS.
No, that's when you get in your car. It's that important. You get in your car and you take it.
I was going to say you get in your car and you drive to 2018.
If you think of a Nokia, it phones and SMSs. It does the job of a phone. But think how much you lose out by not having a smartphone. Think, you know, a simple thing like doing online banking on your phone. You know, imagine you've got to make a payment and you've got to make it now. Well, you've got to go to a bank and do a deposit, or either go find your desktop computer.
Even worse, if your desktop computer works with certificates. You can only use that desktop computer.
Yeah.
You cannot do it with any other way.
Exactly. So, I mean, those are the two things. And you said, well, the process is broken. So it's not that people can still be doing, you know, you can still have companies who have been around for years, maybe run by people who are a bit afraid of the cloud, and they're not willing to move over because they're saying, well, I've still got my customers. I'm still making my sales. I'm still doing everything.
You may have less customers, but how would you even know?
Well, the reason why they still have their customers is because they're not getting any new customers. They're keeping their old customers. They're keeping the old customers who are staying there out of loyalty. But, you know, in a few years' time, they'll realize that they actually not picking up any new customers. You know, a very simple example could be with just a company who manufactures something and then delivers it to you, just a simple product, where people who are using cloud technology as opposed to people aren't using cloud technology. When you're using the cloud, you sort of start to have far more efficient processes, and you can actually start, your costs go down quite substantially, and you're probably able to deliver products much cheaper. And it might become less of a question of quality and more of a question of speed and efficiency.
It's true, actually. Your costs do go down enormously. I mean, what we used to use in paper, we used to go through about, I don't know, a ream or two a month. Now we'd use that in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality, because everything is online.
My printer cable's been broken for 6 months and it hasn't fazed me.
Exactly.
Maybe just quickly just explain, you know, what we're talking about when we're saying cloud, just in case people are a bit confused. So cloud, you're not actually talking about the physical clouds. You actually are talking about the internet.
So not the clouds that Iran accused Israel of stealing.
maybe that actually was the clouds that they accused them of stealing.
So maybe they weren't as crazy as we thought.
Maybe they got it right and we got it wrong. Reporting on it. Yeah.
So the alternative is, you know, like you said, either printing stuff out or you have a desktop computer and everything's sort of saved on that specific computer. When you're working in the cloud, it means everything is saved and accessed through an internet connection. Now, when you say the cloud,
people get very nervous.
It is very nervous, and I think people get most afraid of security. They think, well, as soon as my stuff is off my computer and it's out there in the cloud, everywhere can access it. These people are the same people who are using Gmail, which is cloud, and the same people who are using WhatsApp, which is cloud. So, you know, a lot of people have their questions about security, and you should question security. You should always, if you are looking at a cloud, at a piece of cloud software, you should see where they house their security, because it is important. But, you know, it's security is definitely not a deterrent, and it's definitely safer. If somebody manages to steal your computer, they've got all your information. If all your information is safe and secure in the cloud and somebody steals your computer, they can't get anything. Maybe that's a good time to, you know, maybe we can speak about a few of the advantages of the cloud. You know, one of them is it's extremely flexible. So,
all right, so I'm gonna ask some beginner questions.
Go for it.
Where is the cloud stored?
The cloud is stored, so it depends. So the cloud is really a whole lot of different companies who provide cloud provide space in their cloud server. Now, what it is, as an example, is one of the biggest one is called Amazon Web Services.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon Web Services is a bunch of locations.
And Google.
I mean thousands of locations all over America. And that's where your information sits on those servers. If one of those servers goes down...
I lose my information, Graham.
You don't, because there's lots of servers. There's plenty of servers. So it's only if one gets damaged physically, and all the information is then housed on all the other servers. So your information is always accessible. You'll never have downtime. And they're all in multiple locations all over the place. They're probably harder. It's probably easier to get an American nuke than to probably damage one of the good cloud server providers. So that's what you say is your stuff is housed there, and you access it. You access all your information through the internet. So it's all about your speed of connection.
Is there any concern about other people having access to our information? I mean, we know if you look at Google, right? Google Pay is basically a bank. They've taken, you know, the five biggest IT companies in the world have essentially taken over services from the banks. Banks have signed deals with them to keep them their own business relevant, but it's all about information, and it's all about data farming, and it's about offering services free of charge, because then, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? If you're not paying for something, then you are the product, the bottom line. So is there a concern if our information is stored on other servers?
So how it actually works is your data is there, but no one knows who you are. Everyone knows that this user does this. But no one actually knows who you personally are. So if people are then using those sort of databases that are created by the companies who have all this information, they can know that. Let's find everyone who, and it's the same way sort of Google AdWords searching works and things like that. It's everyone who typed in this word on Google today. We can send out a message to them. Just as an example,
okay.
We don't know who they are, but we can send it to them based on their IP address. Your IP address is basically your internet location. So they
right. Every device has its own IP address. It's all unique. It's like a fingerprint.
Exactly. So they have that. They know which IP address is doing what, but they can't tell you who it is. And that's, you know, I mean, that's something else. That's a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people also are very weary of cloud technology because they say, well, people can access that information. I have a completely different point of view of that, especially in the, you know, online marketing and direct marketing side, is you'll start to receive things like adverts and information that's actually relevant to you. Things that, you know, if people think it's by chance that when you're scrolling through Facebook, you see all stories that you're interested in. You know, it's because of what you've liked and what you've searched and what you've clicked on, their algorithms have worked out that this particular story must come to you, or this particular article must come to you. And it's actually, once again, the people are concerned that people have all your private information, and that's why all these privacy laws are now coming out, where a lot of the companies have had to change their privacy laws, because data, I think, can get leaked.
There's a book that I'm busy reading at the moment. I'm finding it absolutely, I can't put it down, but I had to because I had to come to work. It's by a journalist by the name of Jacques Peretti. And it's called The Deals That Made Our World. You have to read this book. And from a business point of view, from a life point of view, from an information technology point of view, from an information security point of view, you have to read this book, Graham. In fact, I'm going to go and buy you a copy.
can you give me an e-downloadable version?
No, I've got Reader's Warehouse to come and, you know, to actually order it in and whatever. But really, it is phenomenal. He's the next Malcolm Gladwell. Have you read Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy his stuff?
Yeah, I love his
book. Kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you just can't put it out. Graham Shapiro, thank you very, very much. And look forward to
it. We can continue this next week and speak about, you know, what the tools out there are that people can
use. I think that's a brilliant idea. Give everybody a chance to kind of settle, Google, go and check out, you know, security, go and get different opinions, and then we'll talk about tools next week. Thank you so much, Graham Shapiro. He's from MyCountant.